suffering, endurance, and persecution for the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Matthew chapter 10 verse 22. From the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus made it clear that following him would carry a cost. Yet woven into this verse is a quiet assurance. The endurance required is not a grit-driven, self-sufficient resolve, but a persevering trust anchored in the Father. The very name that stirs opposition is the same name that shields and sustains his own. Those who cling to Jesus amid rejection will find his Holy Spirit strengthening them. Hatred cannot destroy what heaven has sealed. The reward of endurance is salvation, not because we earn it by suffering, but because suffering proves that our faith is genuine, rooted in the one who endured before us. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Matthew chapter 19 verse 29. Here Jesus gives an eternal perspective to earthly loss. To leave behind comfort, family, or familiarity for his name's sake is not waste but investment. Every sacrifice made for Christ multiplies in eternity. The hundredfold is not a prosperity slogan. It is the immeasurable joy and fellowship of the kingdom, both now and forever. What the world sees as loss, heaven records as worship. The disciple who walks away from everything for the sake of that name discovers what true inheritance looks like: everlasting life, unhindered communion with Almighty God, and joy that no thief can steal. To live for the name of Jesus Christ is to trade temporary treasures for eternal ones. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Matthew chapter 24 verse 9. Jesus' prophetic words remind us that persecution is not an accident of history, it is a sign of fidelity. The hatred of all nations does not stem from misunderstanding but from rebellion against the lordship of Christ. His name confronts pride, sin, and idolatry wherever it is spoken. When believers endure such hatred, they stand as living witnesses to the supremacy of Jesus over every earthly power. To suffer for his name is not failure but fellowship, a participation in his sufferings that deepens our union with him. The church throughout history has proven that persecution purifies what comfort dilutes. The blood of martyrs still testifies that his name is worth dying for. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 14. Peter, once frightened by a servant girl's accusation, now writes as one who understands the honor of bearing Christ's reproach. To be insulted for the name of Jesus is not a curse but a confirmation of blessing. The Spirit of glory does not merely comfort the persecuted, it rests upon them, a visible token of divine approval. Where others see shame, the Father sees a reflection of his Son. Every believer who suffers ridicule or rejection for standing firm in Christ shares in his glory. The weight of the Holy Spirit upon the faithful outlasts every wound inflicted by the world. To carry his name is to carry his presence, even into the fire. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. 3 John chapter 1 verse 7. John's simple commendation of faithful ministers captures the essence of Christian service. These believers went out for the name of Jesus Christ's sake, not for profit, not for fame, not even for survival. They relied wholly on the provision of the Father, trusting that the one who sent them would sustain them. Their dependence glorified Christ more than any possession could. To labor for his name is to live as a pilgrim, light on the world's wealth but rich in faith. True ministry measures success not by how much we gain, but by how faithfully we carry the name of Jesus Christ wherever he sends us. Every step taken for his name's sake echoes into eternity. Confession, worship, and gathering in his name. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew chapter 18 verse 20. No verse captures the intimacy of Christ's presence more simply than this one. Jesus does not set a minimum crowd size for his presence, only a condition, that believers gather in his name. His promise is not metaphorical, it is literal. The Lord himself walks into every gathering united under his authority. Church, therefore, is not defined by architecture, music, or numbers, but by purpose. To gather in his name is to center every word, prayer, and motive on him. When hearts are truly unified under that banner, heaven touches earth. His presence transforms ordinary fellowship into a sacred encounter. The world seeks spectacle. Jesus looks for agreement. And where he is invited by name, he manifests his glory. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Matthew chapter 18 verse 5. In a culture obsessed with power and status, Jesus points to humility as the true mark of his followers. To receive even the least, the overlooked, the weak, the child, in his name is to receive him personally. The name of Jesus Christ dignifies every act of kindness and sanctifies every moment of compassion. When done in his name, service becomes worship. This verse overturns the world's hierarchy. Greatness in the kingdom is measured not by who commands attention, but by who extends love. Every time we welcome another with the tenderness of Christ, we bear witness to his presence within us. In my name, turns ordinary hospitality into holy ministry. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Mark chapter 9 verse 41, Jesus declares that even the smallest act, if done in his name, carries eternal weight. The cup of water, the simplest of gifts, becomes a seed of everlasting reward when offered under his authority and for his sake. This is grace in its purest form. No act of love goes unnoticed by heaven when it flows from faith in Christ. The world measures greatness by scale, but our Heavenly Father measures it by motive. A life lived in the name of Jesus Christ transforms daily deeds into offerings of worship. Whether we preach to thousands or comfort one, the same promise stands. When it's done in his name, it echoes in eternity. Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. Luke chapter 9 verse 48, the Lord draws an unbroken line from earth to heaven. To receive another in his name is to receive both the Son and the Father. This verse teaches the sacredness of human relationship when filtered through the name of Jesus. Every act of acceptance toward others becomes an act of communion with our Father himself. The name of Jesus does not just unite believers to Christ, it unites them to one another. It dissolves pride, prejudice, and division. The church is most like Jesus not when it performs miracles, but when it welcomes the broken with his heart. To do so in his name is to open the door for divine fellowship. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Worship reaches its highest point in this confession. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not only precious to the church, it stands supreme over all creation. Every knee, whether angelic, human, or demonic, will bow before him. This is not a figure of speech. It is an unshakable reality that Almighty God has declared. The authority of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is universal, unstoppable, and eternal. When believers speak his name in reverence, they align themselves with the worship of heaven itself. To confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, is to join the chorus of eternity. That name, once mocked, is now gloriously magnified. It is the anthem of the redeemed and the terror of the defeated. Warning and misuse of his name. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Matthew chapter 7 verse 22, Jesus' warning here pierces the heart of religious self-deception. These are not atheists speaking, but people who claim to know and serve him, yet he replies, I never knew you. Their error was not in the works themselves, but in mistaking activity for intimacy. They invoked his name without yielding to his will. The power of the name of Jesus is not a performance tool. It is an extension of relationship. When the heart is divorced from holiness, even miracles lose their meaning. This passage teaches that success in ministry is not proof of salvation. The final judgment will reveal whether we truly belong to the one whose name we proclaimed. To speak his name rightly, we must live under its authority. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew chapter 24 verse 5. Deception always borrows vocabulary from truth. Jesus warns that false saviors and false teachers would arise, cloaked in the familiarity of his name. Deception always borrows vocabulary from truth. Jesus warns that false saviors and false teachers would arise, cloaked in the familiarity of his name. The enemy understands that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth carries power, so he counterfeits it to confuse and mislead. Throughout history, false prophets have claimed divine endorsement while promoting rebellion. Yet the test remains the same: do they exalt Christ or themselves? The genuine always directs attention upward, the counterfeit always demands it inward. To come, in my name, falsely is to weaponize holiness for personal gain. The church must remain discerning, not suspicious, but spirit-led, testing every teaching against the word, and every messenger against the humility of the Lamb. True power flows from union, not imitation. The name of Jesus is not a charm or spell, it is a covenant. To speak that name without submission to the will of the Father is to invite spiritual defeat. The name of Jesus carries power, but it also carries responsibility. If we act in his name, we represent him before the world. Our love, mercy, and unity are evidence that the name we profess has indeed transformed us. The Christian who carries the name of Jesus while walking in unrepentant sin undermines the very gospel he professes. The seal of Almighty God rests on those who both believe and obey. Naming the name of Jesus Christ means embracing his nature, holiness, humility, truth. The world watches to see whether the believer's words align with its witness. When believers live righteously, the name of Christ is honored. When they compromise, his name is blasphemed among the nations. To carry his name is the highest privilege and the greatest responsibility. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 14. To be mocked for his name is not disgrace but confirmation that his Holy Spirit rests upon us. The misuse of his name by others should never cause us to withdraw ours in silence. The true believer responds not with pride or defensiveness, but with joy, because reproach for his name means resemblance to his character. The world misuses Jesus' name in profanity. The church must magnify it in purity. When his name is on our lips with reverence and on our hearts with devotion, no insult can rob it of its power. Closing reflection: the name above every name. From Bethlehem to the New Jerusalem, Scripture testifies to the supremacy of one name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is the name that saves the sinner, heals the sick, casts out demons, and silences storms. It is the name that divides history and unites eternity. It is the name heaven loves, hell fears, and the earth will one day bow before. To believe in his name is to be reborn. To pray in his name is to touch heaven. To suffer for his name is to share his glory. And to misuse his name is to deny its holiness. The name of Jesus is not a syllable, it is a covenant. It carries the weight of his person, his work, and his will. All authority, all mercy, and all truth reside in it. And when every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of that name will fill every corner of creation forever.